Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Asocio's conference call to discuss the third quarter of 2010 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the Internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.asocioparticipacoy.com.br/IR, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session, when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information or future developments. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Eduardo Acolé, CEO. Please, Mr. Eduardo, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our conference call for the third quarter results. With me here today, we have Fabio Sandri, our CFO, and Flavio Oliveira, our investors relations manager. I'll begin to comment the quarter's highlights, and then I'll hand over to Fabio, who will discuss in better detail our financial results, and after that we will go to question and answers with you gentlemen. Beginning on slide number two, we're very pleased to announce our third quarter earnings with significant improvements in most of our key operational indicators, thanks to the streamlining of our operations and our financial discipline. This I really can call the turning point, the quarter of the turning point in our operations and results, and the beginning of a very positive scenario for Asocio in the coming years, as we've been expecting and indicating in our last meetings and conference calls. Beginning with enrollments, we were very successful when we hit a historical record of 50,000 new students enrolled in our second semester admissions cycle. Out of this 50,000, 39,000 were on-campus students and 11,000 students enrolled in our distance learning programs. That represents a 27% growth over the same period of last year, and with that our total student base reached 216,000 students, a 2% increase over the same period of 2009, indicating that we have really reached the inflection point in the direction of sustained growth, and with that we'll benefit significantly from the operational leverage of our business. Already we reached in this quarter a significant improvement in our EBITDA. We grew EBITDA by 33% to a total of 41.8 million reais in this third quarter, and that represented a margin gain of 430 basis points when compared to third quarter of last year. We delivered a 16.8% EBITDA margin in a period where we saw a stable revenues. So those gains were absolutely driven by better management and more strict cost control, which makes us even more confident about the gains in efficiency and gains in profitability going forward with a growing student base going forward. In terms of our working capital, which we always take a very serious look at, we have also improvement in the indicators. We decreased our average days receivables to 47 days in the third quarter of 2010, reflecting, you know, the consistency of our very strict and disciplined policy on working capital, and even including, you know, well-succeed strategies to improve even further the credit profile of such receivables by means of improving and growing the utilization of better payment methods like the use of credit cards and so forth. You also have already seen, you know, we recently announced the acquisition of Faculdade Atual, headquartered in Boa Vista in the north of Brazil, a 4,500 students company with a 40% share of the local market. So that that is a very good example of our ongoing acquisition strategy to grow by increasing our presence in areas of high growth with companies that fit our operating strategy pretty well. So we're very glad to have Faculdade Atual joining the Estácio group. Besides that, I'd like to highlight the recent changes that the Ministry of Education announced on the FIES, the Long-Term Student Finance program sponsored by the government. And I would like to highlight the waiver on the guarantor to the student from 2011 onwards, which is a very good move. And besides that, you know, the Banco do Brasil being also another banking agent for distributing the FIES. On that, we made our part, and we have already set an alliance with Banco do Brasil through which we're going to have a dedicated team of Banco do Brasil employees in some of their branches of Banco do Brasil, which are neighbors to our most important units. These dedicated employees will exclusively be there to take applications to FIES from our students and making the process more straightforward and easier for the students to enroll themselves with us through the FIES. As a matter of fact, we started that yesterday. We have already 4 Banco do Brasil branches here in Rio de Janeiro, neighbor to our to some of our biggest units, and we have already those employees exclusively dedicated to take FIES students from Estácio. We're going to increase that network over the next week, and that makes us even more enthusiastic and confident about the growth prospect for new students through FIES, as well as current students which who want to apply to FIES. And with that, we have the benefit of significantly improving the renovation, the renewal of those students, and avoiding any bad debt risks with those students. To end here, before passing the word to Fabio, I would like to also highlight our satisfaction of our public offering that we finished in the beginning of October. There were 36 million shares were sold in a total of 685 million reais, increasing our free float to 76% of the company's capital and increasing our daily liquidity of our shares by 7 times. We are very pleased for that, and we continue to be committed to a constant pursuit of sustainable growth with profitability based on the quality of our academic model, the satisfaction of our students, and the consistency of our operation and financial discipline. So with that, I hand it over to Fabio, who will discuss in detail our performance, and after that we will turn into Q&A. Thanks.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Starting on slide 3, our results highlights. We can see a gross margin improvement of 4.4 percentage points, mainly due to the rollout of our new academic model and the better management of our faculty costs that more than compensated the step-up in the NSS cost. With this improvement in gross margin, our recurring EBITDA in the third quarter reached 41.8 million reais, a 33% growth over the third quarter 2009. Recurring EBITDA margin grew 4.3 percentage points, confirming our trend of increasing efficiency and profitability of our operations. Year-to-date recurring gross margin was 2.4 percentage points higher over the same period last year, while EBITDA margins increased 0.9 percentage points compensating for the weaker performance in the first half of this year. On the next slide, slide 4, we'll comment on our student base. At the end of the third quarter 2010, we had 216,000 students enrolled compared to 212,000 in the same period last year. As Al-Khalaja had mentioned, this 2% increase is the result of the enrollment of more than 50,000 new students in the intake process of the second half of 2010. With this, we have started rebuilding our on-campus student base, which was reduced due to the base cleanup process in 2009. The distance learning base totaled 25,000 students at the end of the quarter, with a net addition of 17,000 students in the period, a proof of TASU's high-quality structure and methodology. Now on slide 5, our operational revenues. We can figure out that our gross revenues increased 0.6% to 363 million reais, mainly due to the distance learning revenues of 17 million reais. Our on-campus average ticket was 413 reais, up 2.2% year over year, and our distance learning ticket increased 10.6%, once again proving our academic equality in this segment. Moving on to slide 6, on costs. Cost of services, excluding depreciation and non-recurring events, decreased 2.5 percentage points in the quarter to 61.9% of net revenues. In the year-to-date, cost of services totaled 495 million reais, with the equivalent to 64.8% of net revenues, 1.1 percentage points lower than the 65.9% in the same period in 2009. The 7.4 million decline in cost of the quarter and 8.8 million decline in the year-to-date cost were basically due to 40 million reais reduction in faculty costs that more than compensated the increase in textbooks material, which reached 9 million in the year, and the step-up in the ENESS that added 5.6 million reais in costs in the year. As for the other items, we remain our policy of strict budgetary control with reduction in all costs. On slide 7, we'll talk about our selling, general, and admin expenses, excluding depreciation and non-recurring expenses. Selling, general, and admin expenses fell 1.1 percentage points in the quarter, in comparison with the same quarter previous in the previous year, mainly due to 0.6 percentage points in the selling expenses, due to a 0.7 percentage points in the provision for doubtful accounts, thanks to a better recovery of doubtful accounts, that compensated a 0.1 percentage point increase in marketing expenses, especially with the direct marketing actions of the Tira Dúvidas and the new points of sales. On slide 8, we can see the effectiveness of our marketing approach. In the past 6 months, TASU spent 17 million reais in marketing actions. Given our enrollment of more than 50,000 new students, we reach an acquisition cost of 346 reais per student, much lower than the market average. This lower acquisition cost is due to the strength of our brand, our academic model, and the more rational and innovative direct marketing actions, such as the Tira Dúvidas, which is a stand where teachers and undergraduate students from TASU Uni Radial clarify doubts the users of train and subway stations in São Paulo have about Portuguese and math. We launched the project in March at the Brás subway station, one of the busiest subway stations in São Paulo, with an average circulation of 450,000 passengers every day. The project is an excellent opportunity to promote the TASU brand in São Paulo. On slide 9, we can see our accounts receivable. Our days receivable from students fell to 47 days in the third quarter of 2010, from 51 days in the previous quarter, demonstrating the continuation of our policy of strict control over working capital and the health of our receivables. On gross accounts receivables, we had a 12 million reais increase in FIES tax credit that we used to pay federal taxes without any risk of default. And in addition to the reduction in the days of receivables from students, as Alcalar mentioned, we increased the quality of the receivables by the incentive for the use of credit cards for enrollment renewals, which eliminates the risk of defaults for the company. Looking at slide 10, we have graphically depicted the increase in the gross, EBITDA, and net margins in the quarter, thanks to the more effective cost control. our recurring EBITDA grew 33% year-over-year to reach 42 million reais, while EBITDA margins rose 4.3 percentage points in the period. Our net income came to 33 million reais, a 53% increase over the previous year, equivalent to a gain of 4.6 percentage points over the third quarter of 2009. Our cash flow on slide 11, it's important to underline the quality of the company's cash generation and the disciplined management of our working capital, which generated 20 million reais in the quarter, financing our capex needs while boosting the cash position in the third quarter by 7.4 million reais. With that, I'll conclude our initial comments so we can issue Q&A. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star 1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing the pound key. Your first question comes from Alessandro Pisano of Merrill Lynch.
Hi, I have two questions. First, you mentioned on the Portuguese call that you do have new campuses, new organic campuses coming online in 2011. I'd just like to know what's the average size of these new campuses and what kind of intake can we expect for these new organic campuses. And the second question is on marketing expenses. Last year we did have a one-off seasonality in fourth quarter. You had a very low spending on marketing expenses. I'd just like to know what's your expectation for this year. Should we return to normality on the marketing there? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Pisano. On the new campuses, we have two for São Paulo already confirmed, and they are pretty different campuses. One is more positioned towards our niche programs, and it's a 2,500 campus total. Obviously, it's not going to run at 2,500 once we open it, but it's in full steam. It's around 2,000 to 2,500 students. Another one is pretty big. It is around 12,000 to 15,000 students, full steam. Obviously, the two of them, we expect to have them running at full steam in four years, 3 to 4 years. So it's around 17,000 students addition of capacity in São Paulo towards the next four years. Then we have, obviously, it's not organic. We have the addition of the Boa Vista acquisition to our network starting next year is, as you saw, 4,500 students. And we are planning on a new campus already for the Rio de Janeiro State. It's still in discussion, pretty much advanced, but still in discussion, which could be another 4,000 to 5,000 campus. So all in all, you know, we're gonna have new campuses which will be minimum 5,000, and obviously in places like São Paulo and so forth, we would work with bigger campuses like, you know, this one that will be 15,000. In terms of marketing expenses, it's a good point that you raised. Yes, we have a atypical, seasonally very low marketing expenses in the last quarter of 2009. As we commented, that was because we decided to postpone marketing expenses from 2009 into 2010. And that was a mistake, you know, as I've been saying, that was a mistake that we saw that because of that, among other things, we saw, you know, weaker than expected enrollment in the beginning of this year, in the beginning of 2010. We saw that, we learned with that, and we're not going to do that again. So we will go back to normality, and we are already running at that pace. We are doing marketing expenses. We are investing in marketing for the new enrollments of the first admission cycle of 2011. we expect to be running at around 4% of revenues in marketing expenses for this coming last quarter, which is obviously, as you know, much higher than the totally atypical rate that we run the same period of last year. And we are already seeing that this is strongly paying back. We are already seeing strong ramp up in applications for enrollments already in October and November. So we are very happy with that, very happy with the decision, and very happy with the fact that, you know, altogether, the right strategy, the right product, the right sales structure out there is paying handsomely in terms of the expectations of applications and enrollment going forward.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Javier Martinez of Morgan Stanley.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for the call. I was wondering if you can give us an updated view on your view for prices, brick and mortar, and distance learning and margins for 2011, please.
Prices and what, sorry, Javier?
Yeah, so prices and margins. If you don't
margin.
Mind.
Okay. Listen, in terms of pricing, we are positive. You know, we had very strong admissions performance, as you saw, in a market where, you know, performed well, but we performed much better than the market. As you know, the market didn't grow, or the overall market didn't grow 20%, 27% in enrollment. So we were able to get market share from our competitors in the areas where we operate, and we were not, and we did not do that in detriment of average prices or higher discounts whatsoever. We have, as I said, the right marketing strategy, the right product, the right marketing and differentiating attributes for our products with the new academic model, and the right sales methodology. With that, we've been able to ramp up significantly admissions at no cost in average prices whatsoever. We are already, as I said, seeing good prospects for applications and enrollments for next year, and again, at, you know, very interesting price levels. I think obviously we have a more benign overall environment out there, which together with, you know, the things that we're doing well, you know, are paying back handsomely in terms of growth in enrollment with no price deflation whatsoever. Specifically in distance learning, as you saw, we continue to strongly increase average prices on 10% compared to the same period of last year. So we're very strong in prices and very strong in growth. In terms of margins, you know, that, you know, it's music to margins because of growth combined with the streamlining efforts that we already delivered. As you saw in this quarter, we were able to deliver strong operating margin gains even with flat revenues, which is not going to be the case from now on. So streamlining efforts, which are already paying back, combined with growth in the base, you know, that will play handsomely, very handsomely to EBITDA margins going forward.
Just to try to help the market to build their expectations, during the call you mentioned today a few times, so the recurring margins, the recurring, so we are now at 13-14% level. This plus operational leverage and the new campuses, et cetera, bring you to 16-17, or 13-14 is a more reasonable expectation for next year?
We are maintaining our guidance of 200 basis points margin gain for next year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Once again, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please dial star 1. Your next question comes from Frank Chavez of Arthur Capital.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I was hoping we had just read more recently that some of the issues that came up with the entrance exam last year have come up again, and I'm curious if, you know, what measures you're taking to make sure that, you know, similar things don't happen in terms of so that things aren't delayed and you don't have you know, a situation that that you encountered in the first half of 2010.
Okay, Frank, thanks for the question, and it's a very good question. And all the problems of BNM this time around again, if it will or it will not affect you know, the admission cycle and so forth. Two things here. First, you know, more and more we are realizing that you know, we were sort of wrong last year when we thought that the delay of BNM was a very big responsible for the weaker admissions that we had. I think that it made us incur in the mistake that I said that last year we delayed marketing expenses because of that, and with that we suffered in admissions. So that was, I would think, the most important reason for weaker admissions in last year. I don't think that delay in the end was the big reason for that, which again is going to apply right now if BNN has problems, and I guess obviously BNN has problems. Second, because of the fact that BNN has problems again, and because of the fact that the students have already learned last year that BNN admission, the admissions provided by BNN, they are only add up to some 50,000 seats in few federal-owned universities. They know that that is too little, and you know, the big majority of them will not gonna be able to grab those seats. So that, together with the problems in credibility of the name, I think that the students are gonna, you know, run their life and go ahead with their decisions in terms of enrollment and so forth, and not think about the name anymore. And an empirical evidence, if I may call it this way, as I said, we are already seeing very strong ramp up in applications to enrollment and so forth. So I think, and today, given the empirical evidence that we're getting from our marketing and our salespeople and our inputs in terms of our performance of applications, I am not concerned with BNN this time around.
Okay. Thank you. Just a point of clarification from the last call, I mean the last question. You said the guidance is 200 basis points for next year. That's all from the recurring, I would imagine, from the recurring margin, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in those non-recurring charges, I apologize if you already went through some of those details, but what are those non-recurring charges related to?
Most importantly, to layoffs that we are doing because of the introduction of the new academic model, which brings in more distance learning, more self-learning activities, which demands less faculty charge, as well as, you know, better planning and management of the faculty cost, which also gets us, you know, to need fewer teachers and so forth. And because of the restructuring of the model, and that's when, and the nature of those layoffs, that's why, you know, they come in as non-recurring, because we are really changing the structure based on the new methodology of the new academic model and the new methodology of the faculty planning.
Okay. And when would you expect the restructuring to be closer to an end?
That question came in the earlier call, and as I said, you know, unfortunately, it is something that we cannot do once and for all, because the 4-year nature of the majority of our programs and the classes that you have to renew and so forth, you have to unfortunately do that in a sort of a gradual way, because the new classes, the new periods that you renew and so forth, you are able to go through a learning curve and do sequential adjustments over the period. So I think that we're going to go through, you know, our plan is that for the next 12 to 18 months, see, you know, these non-recurring charges declining down to zero in the next 18 months. So we're going to go from, and our plan is to go from the current level gradually down to zero in the next 12 to 18 months, I guess.
Right. Thank you.
Once again, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please dial star 1. Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Eduardo Alcalay for his final remarks.
Okay, thank you everyone for participating in our conference call. Our investor relations department, as always, is available to help you with further questions and clarifications needed. And we hope to see you again in our conference call or in any event that we may be together. Once again, thank you very much and have a good day, everybody. Thanks.
This concludes Espacio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.